There was one very important principle I had not gotten out of all of my study until the day the Spirit of God said to me, you will never find the definition of success in ministry until you help those people that I have given you to succeed. Help them. That changed the perspective completely. That was when I got to realize that I was not the only one going through a hard time in the country. It was something happening to everybody. Or at least almost everybody. All of a sudden I got to realize all those principles that I have learned, all the things that I knew on how to succeed were essentially actually not just for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our tribulations, so that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted by God. Did you see that? The reason why God brings comfort into your life, the reason why he heals you, the reason why he solves your financial problems is because he wants to, through you, help solve other people's financial problems, because you are not the only one who has financial problems. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that has taken you but such as is what? Common to man. It is common. The reason why we are so focused on ourselves and we're so focused on getting all the anointing in the church and all the laying on of hands and all the prayer and all the power in the church so that we can attack this our financial problem or this health situation or this marital situation is because we think that our own problem is the biggest in the world and we think we're the only ones who have that problem. Far from the truth, sir. This problem is common. You are not the only one going through it. And the earlier you understand the reason why you are going through it, the faster for you. Because the Bible says that God will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. The way of escape God opened up for me was for him to help me understand that this was not about me. That it was by helping other people to succeed that I would find my own definition of success. Do we really, really care about other people? This country makes it so easy for us to be self-centered. Man is selfish by nature. It's just natural for everyone to tend or pay attention to his own things. But in Philippians chapter 2, please listen carefully. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here the Apostle Paul. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Until you break free from self-centeredness, you cannot be successful as a leader. Breaking free from self-centeredness, getting to understand people are going through things around us, right down the same street, right down the same, someone does not have food to eat, somebody does not have clothes to put on, someone can't pay a child's school fees, there's a marriage that is under tension, almost breaking, and God is helping you to put your own together. People are going through things, sir. Only God knows what is going on under those fine clothes that people put on the street. Some people, you see them going on the road talking to themselves, almost going crazy. When some people walk, when some people jaywalk across the road with a dazed look, almost run over by cars. It's so easy for you to insult them, you know. But get out of the way. What's it thinking about? If you want to sleep, go and sleep at home. Do you know what the person is going through? There must be a reason why somebody will be walking on the road and get that lost in thought. People are going through things. Some have loved ones sick at home. Some sick in the hospital. They have bills they cannot pay. Some are due. some have relations who are due for surgery and they cannot, sir. They cannot raise the funds.
A friend told me once how someone involved in fraud, 419, began to tease his family members because everyone had refused to have anything to do with him until one of the other family members took ill and landed in the hospital. And now they needed money to pay the bills, they could not raise the money. So, with all humility, they approached the 419 man. He paid the bills and gave them a lecture. He had the opportunity to talk because he was the only one who could solve the problem.
People are going through things. Afflictions, oppressions of all sorts. When God helped me to discover how to grow a church or how to attract a crowd, it was a very interesting discovery for me. Very interesting. And I can't forget the day the Holy Spirit asked me, why do you want the church to grow? And I kept quiet. And he said, I know why you want the church to grow. It's because you want to be more comfortable. He was right, sir. Only God knows how many people are pastoring churches in this city and in this country today because of economic depression. That type of offering can cause war if you don't allow it to come. There must be a reason why you will live in a country where they said 70% of the people live below the poverty line and you will still raise offering 5 times in one service. There must be a reason. And that reason was very strong. They said 70% of them live below the poverty line. You took the first offering. You said it's first fruit. You took the second one. You said it's miracle seed. You took the third one. You said it's tithe. You took the fourth one. You said it's anointing fall on me. You took...
Oh, Lord.
Some years ago, I was just reflecting. I was praying and reflecting on it. And I just suddenly realized all I had been teaching on finances was give. Now, give is very authentic, scriptural. People who don't understand the Bible, don't know God, who don't have the Holy Spirit may not understand it. But because it is true and it is spiritual, we must teach it. It's the truth. Give. But I discovered that was all I was teaching about finances. And I looked at the people that I was teaching to give. I had taught them how to give. I had taught them how to give sacrificially. No show. Then I said to myself, is that all that the Bible has to say about finances? Does the Bible have any truth that can help us to get the money in the first place so that then we can give it? Then I went on a research. The discovery was what I put in the book, Parable of Dollars. But start with what you have. I tell you the word parable of dollars. And I teach those things with a passion because I hate poverty. And I hate to deceive people. How do you tell someone who does not have a skill, who has no product, no service to offer, that just because you pray prayer of breakthrough, he will break through? Even if he does, he cannot sustain it.
Amen.
What I'm simply saying is, people are going through things around here. There are more problems around town than we realize. People are going through things. Even church people. Church people. We come to service looking gaily dressed, especially on Sunday. When it's time for praise and worship, the way some people dance, you don't know. Everybody looks fine, everybody looks gay, but only God just knows what people are going through. And the challenge tonight is if you will ever be able to influence somebody else, to touch somebody else with the power of God,
if you will ever be able to get someone else to cooperate with you so that you can multiply your ability to achieve very strategic goals for God, you must have genuine love for people. Many of us work in organizations. How many managers have genuine love for us, for the people that they lead? How many people have allowed their positions to get into their heads? Especially in a culture like ours, where people think leadership is equal to superiority. And once someone is a manager or a boss, then they feel they are really something. If you and your subordinate were to leave your positions today, that subordinate who obeys you in the office, will the person obey you? Big question. If you cannot secure the person's cooperation outside of your current position, if you cannot secure the person's cooperation the way you do now, you are not a leader, you're a boss. I had a teacher when I was in primary school who really, really cared for me, showed me so much love. I've not seen him since I left primary school, sorry. But I'll never forget. Just because he cared for me. A teacher said, she studied how to teach mathematics, and she was very good at teaching mathematics. But somewhere along the line, she discovered that her assignment was not to teach mathematics, her assignment was to teach children. She stopped seeing those children as things. She began to see them as people. Began to value them, recognize them, appreciate them, respect them. One of those kids in school, his grades improved dramatically. And the teacher asked, "What do you think happened that made your grades to improve?" The young boy said, "Ma, it is because now, when I am with you, I like myself." It was because of the impact that love had made on the young boy that his grades improved. So tonight we're going to pray that the Spirit of God should help us, deliver us from self-centeredness. I ache at the way leaders in this country have squandered awesome opportunities that God gave them to affect other people's lives. So, gripped by greed and self-centeredness, you enter into political office. Like, I heard about the local government chairman. Recently, they said he had done absolutely nothing. So the elders in local government called him to a meeting. Said, "Excuse me, sir, give an account of your stewardship. What have you done? We've been tracking the allocation, minimum 49 million in a month. We have not seen anything." He said that he was sorry. And that they should please just let them forget about the past. That he will start on a clean slate. 49 million, 50 million, 52 million every month. He said they should forget the past. They said, "Okay, let's begin afresh. So what are we going to do now?" He said, "In fact, there is this excess crude oil allocation that is coming, the 70 million naira." He says, "I want us to appoint a committee so that we can discuss together how to manage it and the projects we will execute." He said, "No problem." So when the committee met, he said to them that, so he outlined the projects that he had in mind, and all of them would cost a total of 2.4 million naira. The excess crude oil amount was 70 million. All the projects he listed would cost a total of 2.4 million. And that was the last meeting that they held. Oh, that's the one that has to do with millions. What are people who are doing billions? See the suffering on our roads today, sir. Shameful suffering. Shameful suffering. Needless suffering. And someone out of greed, self-centeredness, what will you do with the money? Selfishness blinds. It blinds, sir. Greed blinds. It is the day we show up in heaven that people will see how the resources that God gave them could have affected so many other lives, but they squandered the opportunity. The man in Luke 12 said, what am I going to do now? He said, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, I'll store all my crops, and I'll say to my soul, relax. That is the highest aspiration of the average Nigerian, including people inside the church, who do not understand the purpose of the anointing. Jesus said, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to who? The poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, preach deliverance to the captives. Open blind eyes. What was the purpose of the anointing? Did he say anything about himself? No. Why is it that the average Christian in Nigeria wants to expend the anointing on himself or herself? You see why the country is not working? If the church doesn't get it, how will the society get it? So what people get is not anointing. Many of them will eventually get annoyance, because it's not working. Because we're not lining up with the reason for which it is given. Jesus also needed food, he needed clothes, he needed whatever. But he was not talking about himself. This thing is on me so I can deliver some people from poverty. And today, to everyone, let us join hands with God. Let us cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know what? Once you want to meet needs that are beyond your personal resources, God will supply the resources to you. You want to feed a crowd, you have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, God will touch the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they will multiply. The average person in this country does not understand how to make money. I have found the secret, sir. I have found the secret. To go beyond asking for money for food, money for clothes, gimme, bless me, my father, my mother, my son, my brother, only us and nobody else. It will not work. The best thing is to take responsibility for a whole community. And then you see the power of God. You see the windows of heaven open. You see God do some sophisticated mechanics, bring in some sophisticated technology and multiply resources into your life so you can meet the needs of those people. I have a feeling this will be the most prosperous year you have ever lived in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I sense also that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will flow through your hands. That this is 1 year you will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Did I hear you say amen? I said this is 1 year you will pray for a sick person genuinely and that person will be healed. I pray this is 1 year you will pray for a family that is troubled and the spirit of strife will be cast out of that family. This is 1 year you will pray for someone with academic problems and that problem will be resolved. In the name of Jesus Christ. This is 1 year you will pray for someone suffering from depression and the hold of depression will be broken over their lives. This year you will cast out devils from people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hand to the Lord.